listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake up, Hollywood. This is your host with the most, Nikki Kolula. We have a very special guest, one of the most incredible bluesmen of bluesmen, Mr. John Primer. How are you, John?
How you doing, man? I'm doing okay. I'm doing fine. Yeah.
I heard you just drove through a snowstorm to get to this interview. So,
came all the way from Chicago. Yeah, to put an amplifier in the shop. Yeah, one of my favorite amps. So I have it when I come back from Europe.
Which amp did you take to the shop?
My Fender amp was the small one, yeah. The one that not so heavy. I had to get rid of it. Had to stop carrying that old heavy Fender twin out with the heavy speakers. I'm too old for that now.
So I feel your pain. I feel that's a 70-pound amp, so I'm with you. I'm already feeling that at 45, so I don't know how you did it ever up until then. So that's amazing.
Yeah, well, lately I wouldn't listen to my harmonica player and my drummer take care of all the equipment.
Well, you know what? You definitely have a very specific sound with how you play.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the very beginning. We talked a little bit about this for this video session that you and I just did last week. But,
yeah.
You know, you are one of the most incredible bluesmen I've ever heard play, I've ever seen play, and your historical background as far as your resume is pretty impressive. You were one of Muddy Waters' last guitarists. You play with everybody from Chuck Berry to Buddy Guy. But you know what? You are just a pillar of the blues to me. When I saw you play in Chicago, I was hoping I would see someone, you know, half as good as you were. And when I heard you play and sing and playing slide and playing lead, it just blew my mind. And, you know, you were so kind to me. And, you know, we ended up talking outside. And you told me you were playing with Muddy for years. And, you know, you had this amazing kind of like background in the blues. And then you actually asked me to jam with you, which I was so I was so blown away with. I'll never forget that forever. And so, you know, we did this video session. But tell me, like, you know, when you first came to Chicago, you were 18 years old. Tell me what that hustle was like, just to kind of like get into the blues scene when you're kind of the new kid on the block.
Well, you know, when I first got to Chicago, I was looking for a regular job. I still was studying music and stuff like that. But so I worked a regular job, you know, I had to get a job, you know. My mom said, hey, you can't stay. You got to work. You got to have a job, you know. Yeah, so. My main thing was working a job and was still playing music, rehearsing and at night. But the scene was real good. A lot of blues and stuff, clubs around in Chicago was going on. All the clubs, a lot of clubs was open back then.
Right.
So I had a chance to go check them all out, you know. When I got 21, I couldn't go in because I was too young, 18 years old. So
you didn't try to sneak in?
No, I didn't. I was just trying to work a job, you know, but I still was playing. Me and house parties and things, me and my first band, the Maintainers.
Did you get the chance to see Muddy Waters before you ever played with him?
No, I didn't get a chance to see him before I ever played with him. I know he was working in Chicago, the Quiet Night and all them places down there, but I was too young to go. I didn't get a chance to see him.
So did you do a jam session with somebody? I think Willie Dixon was one of the people that kind of brought you into the scene. Tell me what that introduction was like. Like, how did you meet him just in the scene?
Well, after I was in Chicago for a while, and I used to go all down on Maxwell Street, and I got a chance to be a house band at Teresa Lounge. So I worked at Teresa Lounge for like 7 years, seven nights a week with Junior Wells and Dave Miles and Trent Robinson. All the old blues guys come down and hang out because the place to be. You know? Sammy Longhorn with the last guitar that I got with Muddy Waters, you know.
That's amazing. what a lineage. And like, you kind of were witnessing one of the kind of like the booming sensations of the blues with all the players that you were playing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, learning. Yeah, I was in school.
Yeah, you were learning as you were kind of like jamming and playing. So, you know, then you get the chance to play with Muddy Waters, and he asked you to open for him too and be in his band. You were doing double duty. That had to be like a dream come true for you, because he was one of the players that made you want to play the blues, right?
That's right. Of course, that's what I listened to when I died in Mississippi. My grandmother and them, all of them had all the old blues 45 records, and they play them all the time. And so I was influenced, man, by a whole lot of that, and had a chance to do all that, you know. None, yeah. So I was influenced by a lot of blues stuff. Yeah.
Did you make your own slide when you first started playing, like the old schoolers did? Did you like cut off a medicine bottle? Did you do any of that?
No, when I made my way to Chicago, I wasn't playing no slide. I was just playing regular guitar. But after I started, but I used to listen to Muddy, but I'd ever always try to play the slide, but never could get that right sound good. You know? So I just kept on editing. And when I got the job at Teresa, and that Sammy Longhorn, he didn't play much slide, but every time he played, there was a guy down there named 4 Reef Superstar, Muddy Waters Jr., and they were saying Muddy stuff. But Sammy would tune his guitar down, a string down and stuff, and play the slide on, that was it. So I just kept on working at it until I got it together, man, figure out what Muddy was doing. I really wanted to play Muddy's style, but not be like Muddy, but play his style.
You got your own style, which is so amazing. And like, even when you cover Muddy, you make it your own. And you know, I've discovered so many great songs and covers that you've done of his. But I got to tell you, I listened to one of the records you gave me front to back, and I was so blown away. I was like, this guy, you really are like something special on the guitar, as a songwriter, as a singer, as a songwriter. You really got all the goods, man. You know, it's really kind of an incredible, you know, feeling just to like listen to you play music. Tell me, what, when you're playing slide, are you an open E? Are you an open D? Do you kind of fluctuate between different tunings?
Well, I'll be an open. My first experience with playing slide was M.O. James style. See, that's where I learned to tune an open D, and that's what really made me say, wow, he's doing it like this. So that's what made me just got on into it, because M.O. James, he's easy the way he played it, you know. So that's what really got me into playing that slide, man. But when I was all back in the days, I was just playing just 8440, you know. But now I learned Muddy. When I got in Muddy band, Muddy was went in a 440, but he always put the cape on there and play. Only time he played in E natural, he didn't use the cape, but everything else, he put the cape on there.
See? That's crazy. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And all keys. So what I did, I learned how to play in a 440, but I learned how to play in every key from F all the way down. I learned how to play slide in those keys too without using the cape.
That's crazy. That's not easy to do too.
All you got to do, pick what you pick. Play the same note that you pick when you're picking the guitar. That's all it is. Yeah. Same notes and things.
What do you think you learned the most from playing with Muddy?
Well, I'm saying I learned most about how to play that slide and singing and how to be nice to your musician. And I learned a lot from him. He was a great guy, and know how to treat your musician and respect your musician fellas, man, on the side. You don't be arguing at them and try to tell them things because that's your gig and you know you got to play it. So I didn't give him no reason to argue at me. I played what he want to play. He said, when we go up and play, before he come up, he said, well, y'all boys sound good. He said, well, hey, but when I y'all sound good, but when I come up, play my shit.
Awesome. You know, I watched this clip of you playing with Muddy, and then the Rolling Stones come up and play, and you were just laying it down. Like, it was kind of amazing because you were so unfazed with whoever was on stage, because you were just, you were in the groove. And that always shows like how much of a true musician you are when somebody is like laying it down and just playing groove, because that's everything. And like, I started as a rhythm guitarist, so like I had so much in like respect just listening to you play rhythm guitar, but then you unleash the fire when you start playing solos. And I heard it firsthand, you know, standing right next to you last week when we were playing and jamming. Man, you got some crazy great licks. I mean, you just, it just flows out of you so simply and effortlessly. And, you know, you are one of the truest of all the bluesmen I've ever listened to, you know, jam with, any of that. And one of the things I want to ask you, when you're soloing, like, what's going on in your head? Like, what are you thinking about? Are you just, like, not thinking about what you're playing and just feeling? Are you kind of, like, releasing something? Like, tell me what that process is like when you're soloing.
Some of it is when I'm playing, you know, I just play, but I still think about what I'm going to go with the next note and everything. But you notice when I play, I don't, I'm always playing something different. If I play this note this time, I'm playing something different. I'm always doing different things than what I'm playing, you know, because I don't care how many long you play, you can play the same song every night, but you're always going to play something different. But it's all come to my mind to play this, play that. I'm thinking, and I'm thinking about the next song I'm going to play while I'm up there playing and singing. I always do that. That's why I can jump into one song into another. And I know so many songs, so I don't have to hold one song for 20 minutes and then go to another.
Right.
So I play them almost like the record. Like, I call it straightforward blues, you know, shuffles and all music. Back in the old days when the Mudder and them were playing, you know, they play these slow songs and do the turnaround. And some of them, they did it in Jimmy Reed style. But Mudder, you know, if you listen to the record, you can see that Shepherd, B.B. King, Muddy Waters, all them guys, they didn't have that when they were just playing. They just played straight on through it, you know.
Right.
It's straightforward. I call it straightforward blues, like a record. I always tell a musician, hey, man, don't make that doo-doo turn around. Just play it all the way through. Play it through like a record, straightforward, yeah.
When was your first record that you did, and what was that feeling like for you when you were in the studio tracking your own music? You had this great lineage, but now there was a crossroads for you where you were like, I want to write my own songs. I want to write my own blues. Tell me what that experience was like for you.
Well, it was good. You know, I always wanted to write my own songs and, you know, play, but I learned from writing songs by listening to all the stuff that Willie Dixon made. I didn't concentrate on other stuff like Jimmy Reed or something like that, but Muddy was the really Willie Dixon type of stuff that he writes songs, and that was my type of doing it. And I just go down, sit down and write them songs. And my first record, what I did a long time, I did a 45 with another band I used to play with, and on there with him, but he wasn't my record playing on that. So I took it from there. So when I go in the studio, I just play the way it's supposed to be did in 12-bar blues, and don't play so many notes because it don't need to play all them notes because then people can't understand you. But the way I play, you can understand what I'm doing because it's simple. But you can't watch my fingers because my fingers move like a spider.
That's true. I've seen that firsthand. I mean, that's part of like how great you are as a musician. I mean, you're always composing, whether you're playing, you know, solo or you're writing songs. And you guys all did it live. I assume you all did it in the room together, playing like old schoolers, you know?
Yeah, old school. Yeah, in that together. Yeah. So it's really easier to do it, you know. Just don't try to wait till you learn what you can do. And then if you want to put some few notes, fast notes in there, you can do that. I do that. I do it now. But I don't do it all the time. Sometimes, you know, I show off a little bit, but I don't, you know, I don't play like, I learned from Buddy Guy, you know,
right.
But he plays a lot of stuff and where he play, you know, but the guy was a great guitar player. He still is. When he was back in the days, he played the real stuff. He didn't play like when he got famous, he kind of changed a little bit and played, I guess, I don't know why, with all of everybody got all these foot pedals and things on the floor. I don't use none of that stuff.
I've got a lot of those. That was the first thing you said. You got too many pedals for me, man. I was like,
but hey, if that's what it takes for you to play, that's good because you really sound great. I would listen to you, man. You sound good, man. Oh, man.
That is the hugest compliment, and it's something I will carry with me forever. And you know, after we played one of my songs, Come Out and Play, you were so gracious. You were like, man, that song's a hit. And I was like, to get that blessing from you, I can't tell you what that means. And I'm going to give you a huge compliment. You're a much better guitar player than Buddy Guy. I've seen Buddy many times, and I got to tell you, you are truly something special. I was so blown away when I saw you play. Every time I see you play, I'm blown away. You were like one of the treasures of the blues. Now, I want to ask you, you've been very lucky to kind of see how the blues have evolved, you know, over so many decades. Tell me, what do you think has been the biggest change in the blues and how things have also stayed the same in the blues?
Well, like I said, the biggest change in the blues is with the way they play down with the foot pedal and stuff. But I go back to Buddy Guy. I won't say that because he's still a great musician and he's got his own way. And he's got older, but when he was young, I couldn't touch him. No, I couldn't touch him at all. No.
Well, I'm going to play
If I was back then doing what I'm doing now, then I would give him a run for his money. But I'm still looking at him, and I'm still afraid to go up and try to challenge him. I would not challenge him. No, no.
I don't know. I think you could. I think you definitely could. I think you're being very humble, but I respect that, you know?
But I won't do it, you know, because I respect him, you know, and he like the father of the blues right now, you know, and everybody is looking at him that way, and I'm grateful to that, yeah. But
I want to play one of your songs.
He's still my hero. He's still my hero.
Well, then I wore the right shirt during our session, but I need to get a John Primer shirt. But I'm going to play one of your songs right now.
Yeah.
We're going to play Hard Times by John Primer. Check out Hard Times by John Primer.
Oh, yeah. That's
get the best of me. Hard time and trouble about to get the best of me. Hard time and trouble just won't let me be.
Hard Times, that's the name of that song and that album, and that's the times we are in. It's so great to have a new album from John Primer, and this one is a really good one. John Primer and his band, the Real Deal Blues Band. I'm Tom Mark, you're listening to Blues Breakers on 93 XRT. We've got more blues coming right up.
What an awesome video.
That's so cool, man. That's really, I didn't know it was going to come out like that.
You know what's like, cool? First of all, the real deal, you are the real deal. And that makes perfect sense that's on your license plate because you are the real deal.
Yeah.
I mean, and what a great story, like in the video, like it's something that I'm kind of starting to experience now. It's like you see all these music venues kind of dying and short, you know, just having these lifespans where it's they close their doors. You've probably seen so many blues clubs close their doors over the years. And you do you think that you like it's just hard for people to kind of like get to these houses and listen to blues? Do you think the trends are changing? Tell me why you think that's happening.
You know, I see so many changes, and you know, it's not. It was hard. It's hard now to find places that are playing blues, but it's not. There's very few blues clubs around in Chicago. But you go out of town, there's a lot of clubs that still exist, but in Chicago, it's not.
Right.
That one of the clubs, Teresa Lounge, been closed for years, which I played there, and then the other one, the Leeds Unleaded, it's been closed. I think it's going to reopen. But blues is one of the old favorite time clubs that all the musicians played at that place. And so I just been informed that it's going to be reopened now. Someone bought the place and they're going to reopen and it's going to still be a blues club. And it's right across the street from the Kings to Mines.
Yeah.
It's right there neck to neck. And they got another club that I worked at when I can show my appreciation for where I come from, Blue Chicago downtown there. And my favorite spot is the home of my blues now is Rose's Lounge, 3420 West Army. That's my home base right there. I'm always playing there. Yeah.
I love that, you know, you're always playing, you know, like that is the true essence of who you are. You showed a clip of you going to Muddy Waters' house. Yeah. So tell me, like, you probably went there all the time to hang out with him. Tell me, like, what was a scene like when you'd go into Muddy Waters' house? What was a typical day like?
Well, what we did, it was exciting. What happened? Muddy, he used to live in this place on Lake Park there, but I didn't never go to his house right on the next street, Oakenwall. But I went to this house, but he wasn't living there anymore. He was living in Westmount, but we always that's where we rehearsed it all the time. Down in the basement, But when I did get a chance to go meet him when I got on this band, that was exciting, man. Because I had a dream that when I was in Mississippi about 14 years old that I dreamed I was playing with Muddy Waters. And so when I joined this band, the guy came down, Mojo Buford came down to Teresa and saw me and told me, Muddy sent him down there to ask me, you know, because Muddy saw me playing with Willie Dixon in Mexico City. And so when the old band quit, but when I come off stage, he asked Willie, said, who the young man playing that guitar? He Muddy talked for him, the young man playing that guitar? But it's, oh, that's John Primer. That's John Primer. He's house man out to me. We're slamming along. And he said, that man sure know my music. So when the old band quit, he sent Mojo Buford to harmonically on his best buddy down there to get me. Well, must send me down here. That's what he talked. Well, must send me down here. Do you want to play guitar with him? You know, John the band. I said, what? Man, I wanted to quit there and walk off stage and say, forget y'all. At the music, I jumped for joy. I was so happy, man. My dream came true. So
it was well deserved. I mean, you earned it, though. I mean, it's like anybody hears you play and sing, you know, you got what it takes. I mean, it's just like it's a part of you. So it makes sense that he wanted you in his band because Muddy only had the best, and he was such an innovator too.
God sent him to me, man, because I knew all this music. I knew all the songs. That's who I studied on, Muddy Waters. I knew all this music, you know. So it wasn't no problem me to join this band, you know.
That must have been a little intimidating, though, when you were playing any of his music in front of him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I never was nervous. I wasn't nervous either playing because I knew his music. I didn't get nervous about it. And I'm still that kind of person now. I don't get nervous about who I meet or who I play with or who I go on stage with, like a checkerboard that night with the Rolling Stone. I wasn't nervous. I'm just standing up there trying to keep it in line. Cause when the Rolling Stone came up, Rick Crail, the guitar player, he told me Rick came off stage and I was getting ready to get one of my guitars. And Muddy said, No, you stay. All night, then they quit.
I'm gonna play one more song of yours. I'm gonna play She Do the Right Thing. Yeah. This is She Do the Right Thing by John Primer.
Yeah.
All the time. I'm so glad me late at night when the moon is shining brighter. Crazy about my baby, crazy about my baby all the time. Every time she loves me, make me wanna jump and shout. Time. Never did nothing wrong. She do the right thing. She do the right thing, babe. She the one for me. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She do the right thing. All the time. The name of that song, yeah.
You've got such incredible soul, John. It's just such a pleasure, and you are such a treasure to watch. You sing your ass off, you play your ass off.
Yes.
You are the true essence of a real bluesman. You know, one of the coolest things to note is you are one of the last true Chicago bluesmen that come from Mississippi. You just like Muddy Waters, he grew up in Mississippi, came to Chicago, shared his music, became a blues sensation. You kind of followed the same path, and you shared your music with Chicago. You become a Chicago staple. Now tell me what that was like growing up in Mississippi, and you know, you're one of the last true bluesmen that would make your own guitars, you know, like using wire and a bottle and learning how to play slide. Tell me what it was like growing up, like learning to play the blues, and how you fell in love with the blues.
It was. I grew up a hard time, you know. But me learning how to learning the blues, because, like I said, you know, blues come from a hard time, and so I really just stuck on me because I know how I grew up, and I grew up without a father. You know, that was hard for me to do that. I was raised by my grandparents and aunties, and you know, everybody in that and Camel raised me up, you know.
Right.
So, but like I said, they used to play, but I had an uncle, my mom's brother next. My mom was the oldest in the family, but her brother was next to her, and I had a first cousin that they built this thing upside the house, you know, a piece of wire. And I'm little, I was watching them, you know. And they'd be around there playing. I'm two or three years old, looking at them playing. And when I got, and after they would leave and go, and I would always go around and sneak around, go around and play it. You know, I was kind of kind. You know, I was always into that music. I would go around and play it. But I had a cousin, same age I am, she was female, and she come over and play with us, and she always would snatch it down. Head up, you know, and take off, run. So I built my own, you know.
Right.
So I put a nail in the house on each end, and got a spanking a few times. I put a nail in the old regular house. The house didn't make any difference. Probably help hold them blankets on there. But I got me a flavor ball. I can never forget the name of the flavor, vanilla flavor ball, and I played like the slide with it, and that's how I play that thing and sing. I always been wanted to sing, you know. So I had a hard time.
One of my favorite voices I've ever heard. And I got to tell you, I've heard a lot of great voices. You're one of my favorite voices I've ever heard. When you sing, man, it sends lightning bolts through my heart, man. It's just, you are you're such a soulful singer. And even your writing, like, I'm very particular about what I like out of blues or musicians.
Yeah.
And like when you write a song, mm-hmm. You write from the heart, you write from the soul, and you speak to the heart, you speak to the soul, you know?
That's right. That's right. With a feeling.
That's what it's all about.
Got to have that feeling. You got to put hot sauce on it so you can feel it.
Well, you know, the coolest thing, you know, when your harmonica player was on the phone with me, he said, John, do you have any questions? He said, nah, man, let's just play the blues. I was like, this, he's the real deal for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What it's all about. Well, yeah. I want to play one more song. This is John Primer at Lucerna Blues 2016. Let's play this clip.
Okay.
Couldn't play the whole clip because we're running out of time.
Yeah.
John, what's next for you? Where are you playing next? I know we've got a video session that we're about to release with you being our special guest for the NK Power Trio. Okay. And it was such a empowering, inspiring, spiritual experience to play music with you. And I just got to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for doing that session with me. It's something I'll never forget. And I hope we play many more shows together.
I hope so too. Yeah.
But tell me when are you playing next? What's your next gig?
Well, I just came out of I was in Mississippi. I was down there in Clarksdale. And I just come back from California. I was down there, got back Sunday. But my next gig is in Sweden. I'm
amazing.
Tomorrow, I'm leaving tomorrow and going flying to Munich, Germany. We're going to catch a 10-hour drive to Sweden, Stockholm. Yeah.
Denmark,
Copenhagen. Sorry about that. Yeah.
You have an open window to be on my radio show whenever you have a free time and whenever you have a new record, because you are a true gem of the blues. You're a true gem of a human soul. And thank you so much for being on Wake Up Hollywood. Catch John Primer on his website. He's a traveling bluesman. He'll be all over the world playing his blues music. And you need to catch his music because it is truly something special. John, on behalf of myself and Sam, thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. We're going to have you back, man. So we're going to have you back in about 9 or 10 months. So keep playing the blues. Keep spreading your light. Keep spreading your joy of music. And, man, we are so grateful. Thank you so much. Well,
thank you. Thank you, too, man. Happy Halloween to you. Thank you.
Happy Halloween. On behalf of Sam, myself, and John, we'll see you guys next week. Peace and love. Take care of yourselves.
All right.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.